How you doing, Coach?
Doing all right, Glenn. Hi, Steve. How's it going?
Doing well. Hey, Bill. Doing well. Did you have your personal tailor out there fitting your young guys for some Hall of Fame jerseys and jackets there? Or,
yeah, you know, a little early for that.
That's right. I was thinking about that, too, and watching how well some of the young guys played and just picturing not just coaches but veterans saying it's a long year, boys. Just strap it up and let's move on to the next one. Is that basically the message?
No question. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
We got a long way to go.
When did the message start? When did you start having those conversations? Because I'm sure you could anticipate with the game, with the debut from Chandler Jones and Hightower with the scoop and score and Wilson getting a pick and even a second-year guy like Ridley, you can anticipate that today a lot of people will be talking about them. Did you say anything to them last night, or was that in today's session where you go up to them and say, all right, come on, guys?
Well, we talked about it after the game last night to the entire team. You know, it was great to win. It was a good start. And we won a lot of opening games around here. But we haven't, you know, you don't want to give that opening game back and go to 1-1. So it's a big week. Arizona's a team we don't know very well. They got a lot of good players and had a big win yesterday against Seattle. So we got a lot of work to do. We've got to turn the page right away and get on to them.
I want to ask you about that. We talked about this a bit last year when we were going over some of the impressive opening day wins in NFL history. You know, Tom Landry had a great record. Well, we mentioned an incredible streak of opening day victories. And I just wonder, in your case, you're facing Tennessee. The last time you faced Tennessee, they had a different head coach. They had two different quarterbacks. The conditions were different. It was a snowy game, and you guys had 45 points in the first half. When you are game planning for this team with a second-year head coach, is it difficult? Even though you got plenty of time to plan for him, is it difficult because you don't really have a body of work to work with?
Yeah, well, opening day is always a tough preparation game because you have the preseason games. You got to look at those, and those are their players. But then when you go back and look at what they did the year before, or however much history you have on the team. When you combine all that, that's way more than they could possibly do in your game. And you can either put all your eggs in one basket and think that this is what it's going to be, or you can spread yourself a little bit thinner and cover a lot of different bases, knowing that realistically they're not going to be able to get to all of them. You might see some of them, but do you really want a chance to take a chance on covering one thing and not covering something else when you know they've done it before? And then, there's always the plays that they've held back in preseason that they haven't shown. That they've worked on in their own training camp practices. So there was definitely elements of all those things in the game where we had to make adjustments. The players had to recognize things on the field that we hadn't gone over in that specific way that Tennessee matched them up against us, and that we would have to also talk about those things on the sideline and adjust them. So the opening day is always a tough day. It's always a tough day because you over-prepare, and then the game unfolds, and sometimes you have the right things, and sometimes you don't.
Bill, there seemed to be great cohesiveness with that defensive front seven for a first game. Chris Johnson ends up with 4 yards and 11 carries, but even his cutback, everybody seemed to be disciplined. There didn't seem to be any lanes open. Was that a little unusual that they were playing that much together in a first game, that there was that great communication?
Well, I mean, I think we did a good job defending them. It probably wasn't their best day. And I would say overall in preseason, that our run defense has been decent. That's what we expected to be. But the score got a little bit out of hand. That cut down his carries and, of course, his yards and all that. But our guys did a good job with the opportunities they had. So, again, I wouldn't make too much out of one game. Let's see where we are here after a while.
How did the speed and the tackling of your defense look on film compared to the last few years?
Well, I would just say that relative to preseason, that I think we made some improvements from game to game, just being better tacklers, taking better angles, wrapping up, finishing, those kind of things. But there were still some plays that we could do better, lost leverage, and they got away from us a little bit. Johnson's fast, and Kendall Wright has a little quickness underneath there, and so Locker got away from us. Of course, that play got called back on the penalty, but we can definitely do it better. But I thought overall we took decent angles. We tackled, we tried to hustle, wrap up, and And anytime you have a lot of people around the ball, then there's less space for the runner, and the tackling is a little bit easier than it is when it's just one-on-one out there in the open field. So the more space we can cut down and make it a group effort instead of a one-on-one open field drill is better for us, too.
What did you like from Ridley yesterday?
Steve ran hard. I think Steven ran hard. Broke a couple tackles. Had had an opportunity to gain some extra yards in the secondary, and he did. So those things are all good. And made a nice play on the screen pass, and also he ran out in the flat, and Tom hit him. He was able to have a nice gain on that. So he didn't have a lot of opportunities in the passing game, but the couple that he had, those were okay too.
What can he improve?
Well, we can do a lot of things better. We just, run reads, techniques, footwork, and backs can always gain more yards on their own. I mean, that's what good backs do, is they gain yards on their own. They break tackles, they run through guys, they find openings, they use their blockers a little bit better. They work in coordination with their blockers, and blockers help them, they help their blockers. So we can do things better as a group and as a team, all the way across the board, not limited to any player. It's the first game, and there's a lot of room for upside for all of us.
When you talk about the preseason and how difficult it is in the first game because you haven't seen an awful lot, do teams and coaches show less in the preseason now than they have in the past?
Well, there's a fine line there in preseason. You want to work. That's your opportunity to work on whatever it is you're doing. So you don't want to not work on things that are important to you fundamentally. But at the same time, you probably don't want to show your gadget plays or reverses or sometimes your more difficult blitzes. And why give them a chance to work on them and pick them up unless you have a reason for doing it? Maybe that sets up or compliments somebody else. I don't know. But for the most part, I'd say you don't see a lot of that in preseason. And again, I'd say the main reason is why show somebody something, that you're doing? Why not make them see it for the first time against you and let them figure it out then?
Was Tennessee trying to take away Wes Welker? I mean, he was targeted only 5 times, which is less than we're used to around here. Did they do something to try to eliminate what he usually does?
Well, I think the game kind of took a turn for them. They tried to play some different pressures and mix things a little bit in the first half, and then when the score got to, I think it was 21-3, even 21-10, defensively, they kind of went to more of a balanced look because they were having trouble, looked like, with some of their run forces. We were getting outside with some tosses, some zone runs to the edge, and it seemed like they were having a little trouble matching up to some of our formations. So they adjusted and played more of a balanced defense, and didn't look like they were too concerned about anybody rather than just defending the field with more balance than they were earlier in the game. It looked like they got caught in some mismatches where they weren't maybe on the right side of the formation with a safety or a linebacker, and we were able to get outside probably easier than they would have liked.
I know you usually don't like talking about injuries, but that's usually for the current year. How about if I ask you about an injury from last year? Is there a statute of limitations on...
Yeah, we're on this year, Mike. We're not on 11, 10, 08, or 13, or 15, or we're just trying to focus on this year.
There's a great story of Logan Mankins playing last year with a torn ACL the entire year. That's unbelievable. Any comment on that?
No.
Nothing. Not impressive.
We're on this year. I mean, there's a lot of things we could talk about from 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Let's stay on this year.
How about the time D'Aussie got hurt? Talk about that.
Well, yeah. Well, what happened?
I tripped at the buffet line. I'm not sure exactly what happened. Speaking of your offensive line, that was a question that a lot of people had during the preseason about the offensive line. How do you think they played yesterday?
Well, I thought we had our moments. Overall, the run blocking was competitive. We had some holes. We made some nice plays. There are other plays that, again, we weren't able to finish our blocks or sustain them. Same thing with pass protection. We, at times, did a good job, and at other times, we gave up a little bit of pressure. So some things we can learn from and improve on. It was good enough to win. It was good enough to score 27 points offensively, but I still think we can do better.
Jermaine Cunningham played a little bit on the inside. Could you kind of explain this. People for years talked about 3-4, 4-3, set thing. But with so much passing in the game, you're using so many different guys in different positions. The versatility seems to allow you to do that. Could you kind of explain how you use people and how you use them at different spots, depending on the situation?
Well, it changes from game to game, and we teach guys different things in training camp, different positions or different positions in different defensive personnel packages. And then when we come to time to game plan for a team, then if that personnel package or that formation sets up well for us, then we might draw from one or two of our options in that, or if it doesn't, then we might do something else. So we try to, like I said, give guys some different options and different responsibilities as we go through our teaching progression. It's the same, but it looks a little bit different depending on whether a defensive tackle or defensive end or a linebacker or safety or whoever's doing it. But fundamentally, it's still the same concept for us. We're just able to use a different grouping to match up better to their personnel. So that's a long answer. And the short answer is we try to put guys in position that they can be productive and be effective. And the more versatility they have, the more opportunity we have to move them into those different spots.
But it's based on the team and the personnel that...
What our game plan is, what we're trying to stop, what their strengths are, how we want to try to neutralize them, or what their weaknesses are and how we want to try to take advantage of them.
Sure. You know, going back as far as training, not training camp, as mini camp, you were very high on Cunningham. Said some nice things about him, how he improved. What clicked for him between 2011 and 2012? What was it that he just seemed to get? Because he does look like a different player compared to last year.
Well, I think what I said was that he worked hard and he's improved, and I would say that he has. He's worked very hard throughout the off season, going all the way back to when he was on injury reserve, December, January, February, back in those months, and then that led into the off season program. He was in good shape. He worked hard. He improved in his techniques, his conditioning, his strength, his quickness, his explosion, everything. And then we got to the spring and in our OTA practices. That was good, and then training camp was good. So I'd say he just improved in a lot of different areas, primarily through hard work and dedication. That would be the two main things. I don't think it's one thing clicked. I think he put in a lot of hard work, and this is the harvest.
You talk about the versatility, and you've always liked your versatile players. You've got some very athletic rookies, but does that mean they're versatile in terms of what you want to do with them defensively?
Well, some are more than others. It's not just athleticism. It's just the ability to conceptualize different positions, handle different assignments, and relate to different combinations of people, both on our side of the ball and on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, some guys have more of that than others. So it would depend on the individual player and maybe where they are at this point. I think there are some players that are going to have more versatility as they gain experience, and then there are other guys who are a little more experienced. Say a guy like Hightower, who's been in a very sophisticated defensive system in Alabama, has played a couple different linebacker positions, also played down in the sub for Alabama. Similar terminology, smart guy, had a lot of experience playing at a high level at a good program. He's a little further ahead than some other guys are. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they won't catch up but he's just a little further ahead and has a little more versatility at this point in time.
Right.
There seems to be a lot more game planning in the pros, certainly in your program, than there are in a lot of colleges. Do you find it a challenge sometimes with young kids understanding that every single week we have a totally different game plan? I may be asking you to do something totally different than I asked you to do last Sunday.
I think that's an adjustment for some players, sure. Or even if we don't do it differently, even if we do the same thing, who we're playing is different, so therefore it is different. Even if we call the exact same defenses or we run the exact same play on offense, it's different than it was the week before because the matchups are different and the scheme's a little bit different too, because each team has its own unique way of doing something, playing a coverage or running a play, whatever it happens to be. So it is different, even if it's the same. And if you change it a little bit week to week, which we do some of that, then that just adds to the it's more bricks on the pile. And it is harder for some players to understand that transition. But I think in time, when they get it and they understand it, that they're able to to do more with it, and they're able to take advantage of it. So there's definitely a process there.
You know, I watch your games and different games around the league, and I always think of strategy questions that I want to run by you. And one of them came in last night's Denver-Pittsburgh game. And it was, you know, both teams wound up going for two well before the game was, I mean, you know, 8 minutes left in the game, 12 minutes left in the game. Pittsburgh's going for two after a score. The Broncos are going for two after a score. And I don't want to ask you about those teams specifically. What I want to ask you is, do you always go by the book when it's in the book says go for two in this situation? Do you always do that, or do you say, I don't agree with the book here, I'm going to go for two?
Well, I think you know, if you look at the mathematical point chart, that I think that when that applies the most is when you're at the end of the game and there are very few possessions left, or maybe it's the last possession, which would be an obvious situation. You're down by eight, you score a touchdown, it's the last possession where you have to go for two. So you back that up and there's 5 minutes to go in the game. Do you make that decision then? You know, well, probably, because there's not many possessions left. Maybe one more. Maybe that's the last one. 10 minutes ago in the game. You keep backing it up. You go to the first quarter, and there's 50 minutes to go in the game. Well, you still have your same mathematical chart, but you have 50 minutes of football left. Is this going to be the last possession? Is this going to be the last time the two teams score? Do you really want to risk giving up a point to gain that extra point? And that's – so I think the time remaining, the – overall tempo of the game or how many possessions are left in the game for both teams, I think those start to come into play when you make those decisions. And it's not just the mathematical chart. It's certainly how much time is left in the game, how many possessions are left, and also if you have some kind of a feel for the game. I mean, certainly if there's going to be in the second quarter, if there's going to be three or four more scores in the game, that mathematical chart is going to change multiple times throughout the remainder of the game. So the way it reads now in the middle of the second quarter, well, that's one thing. The way it reads at the end of the fourth quarter, when you've lost that point that you tried to gain back in the second quarter, could make it look a lot differently. And do you really want to give that up? Not that the extra point's automatic, but it's over 99%. So throughout the league,
it's pretty much automatic,
right? So, you know, when you go for the 2 points, which is more of a 50-50 proposition statistically, you have to decide whether it's really worth it, you know, at that point in time, depending on, again, how much time's left and what else can happen in the game. So nobody has that foresight. If you knew in the second quarter that there weren't going to be any more points scored in the game and this was going to be, well, then you'd make your decision differently than if the game was going to be a back-and-forth game that had a lot more points scored. So, but I think it's a lot easier to use the chart at the end of the game with fewer possessions. It's when it backs up, then you have to decide how risky is it to try to get that extra point. In the go-for-two example, how risky is it to get that extra point relative to taking the sure point, 99% sure point, and then continuing to play the game from whatever that score is.
Seems like it'd be an easy game if you knew it in the second quarter, wouldn't it, huh? It'd be a lot easier if you knew all of those things.
Well, it's easy to look back at the end of the game and say, boy, I wish we had gone for two at that point, or we shouldn't have gone for two because there were eight more scores mm-hmm. after that. I mean, so it's hindsight's always 20/20, but I think it does change a little bit as the game moves along.
All right, one more, and that deals with Arizona. Skelton hurt yesterday. Cole apparently in quarterback on Sunday. What problems does he present for you?
Well, both players have done well. Both players have been productive for him. Cole's certainly a more athletic guy and is able to move around and likes to escape from the pocket. Skelton's more of a classic in-the-pocket passer. But, again, both guys have been productive. They have a lot of good players. Of course, highlighted by Fitzgerald. I don't think there's anybody in the league that, as an offensive player, that means more to his – that's not a quarterback that means more to his team than Fitzgerald does to the offense of Arizona. So he's certainly a guy we got to stop. And they like to run the ball. They have a good balanced attack. And defensively, they're very much like the Pittsburgh team in terms of their coaches and their style and their – scheme. All their coaches really have Pittsburgh backgrounds, offense, defense, and special teams. So scheme-wise, there are a lot of similarities to the Steelers, and they've tried to, I think, put together a team that has some of the things that we've seen from the Steelers, big outside pass rush and outside linebackers, things like that, that we know the Steelers have. That's kind of the way they're trying to structure their team.
All right, one down. Congratulations. Good luck on Sunday. We'll catch you back here on Monday,
Bill. All right, see you next week.
See
great.
You.
Thank
Let
you.
Hope.